T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon to everyone in the upstate area. It is Straight Up with Sturge. Once again, without Sturge. But Sturge will be back on Tuesday. He will be making his triumphant return. We will be holding down the fort. I still don't know what holding down the fort means. But we're going to try to hold the fort down. That's what we were going to do. My name is Jeff Pantridge. You can call me Pants. You can call me Jeff. As long as you call me at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Lots of ways to get a hold of the program. You can kick it old school with us and call us. We love that. We love phone calls here on Straight Up with Sturge. You can also hit us on the Health Dare text line, and that's 71307, keyword ESPN. You got to make sure you put that ESPN first, and then you follow that by your message. You can get us on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate, at Pants Party Radio, and at Diesel on radio. Diesel is here, of course, as well. And, of course, you can call us or text us or tweet us about any of the cornucopia of topics that we discuss today. But there's something else you can do today because it is Valentine's Day. That's right. If you'd like to maybe text a little Valentine message to your significant other, you can text us, you can tweet it, and we'll read it on the air. You can even call if you want to, you know, if you know your girl's listening, or if you know your guy's listening and you want to, you know, give them a little Valentine's Day shout out on the radio. You can hit us up because we are here for the lovers out there. It's a wonderful day. It's Valentine's Day, and we got to give the lovers some love, right? Yeah, absolutely.
So I decided to look this up because it has been stuck in your crawl for the last couple of days. What is the etymology of the term holding down the fort?
Yes.
Well, the thing is, you're not supposed to hold down the fort. You're just supposed to hold the fort.
You hold the fort.
So the original phrase was hold the fort.
Okay.
Somebody just started adding down. The only explanation that I've found that even makes any sense for this whatsoever, and it feels like a stretch, says clearly holding down the fort is the only way to prevent the enemy from raising it.
Oh.
So
what do you hold on the fort? I don't even know what a fort is. What is a fort?
A fort, you know, it's a military installation.
Okay. Like,
holding the fort means you keep things, you know, status quo while the guy in charge is away.
Because we would, like, build forts when we were kids.
Yeah.
Okay, so you hold it down. What do you hold in the fort?
The British say hold the fort.
They don't say
hold down the fort. Somebody added the down, and it's a corruption of the original phrase.
Probably one of those ugly Americans. We change everything. The British, they also say whilst instead of while. You ever see people write the word while? W-H-I-L-E?
Whilst.
Whilst. Yeah, you ever see people write it that way? I see it all the time.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it really annoys me. I don't like that. Like, I see, like, Americans write it like that. It's like, whilst. Like, come on, you're not British. No, you're not fooling anybody. Trying to look smart.
You know the stand-up comedian Eddie Izzard?
I do not.
The English guy who cross-dresses in his stand-up performance?
I have not seen him, no.
He does a great bit about that. He says he likes the way that Americans spell the word through. He says it's T-H-R-U. It's quick. It's to the point.
Yeah.
It's the way it's supposed to – it's the way it sounds is the way you spell it. He goes, we spell it thruff, and that's cheating at Scrabble.
That's true. It's a good point. Yeah, they're spelling it wrong. We're simplifying things. I like our version myself. So if you want to get out your Valentine's Day shout-outs to your lover, you can definitely hit us on the phones, you can hit us on Twitter, and you can hit us on the text.
It's literally the least you could do.
Yeah, come on. It's literally like...
That's what you're banking on for your day, then, you're in for a rough night.
I didn't get you anything, honey. Probably not going to take you out to dinner, but I gave you a shout on the radio. That's huge, man. You got, you know, thousands of people hearing your name. So hearing Boo Boo's name on the radio. It's great. Come on. I think it's phenomenal.
If you're dating a woman named Boo Boo, then I'm pretty sure a card made out of construction paper is the right thing to get her.
Probably. Yeah, Boo Boo's like a pet name. You know, hey, you're Boo Boo. Yeah, everybody's got a Boo Boo or some stupid pet name for their significant other. So we will be spreading the love all afternoon till 7 o'clock. We got a full show this evening for you guys. No basketball to speak of, but we will have a half of a show tomorrow. We're getting out extra early tomorrow. First off, we're coming in extra early tomorrow. We're going to be here filling in for Mark Ryan and Lonzo. We're going to be filling in for Offsides with Mark Ryan from 1 to 2:30 p.m., it looks like, because we will have Clemson baseball right here on ESPN Upstate. So we'll be getting out early tomorrow. Full show today. We got a lot of stuff we are going to get to today. And before we get to anything, I gotta give Greenville some love, man. I checked out Greenville downtown for the first time today. This is the first time I've ever been in the Upstate. And you know, it's the last couple days since I've been here. I've been so hyper-focused on the show, man. Like, you know, you're filling in. You want to do, obviously, you want to do the best job possible on the radio show. So I've been, you know, prepping like a madman. I've been good at night. I haven't been going out and, like, exploring or anything. I've just been really trying to do a good radio show for you guys. You know, I'd love to impress the brass here at ESPN Upstate. Maybe something might open up down the road, maybe mornings or something, or middays, early middays down the road if they want to go with another local show instead of one of the national shows. So I'm trying to do the best job I can. That being said, though, man, like, you got to live too, you know? And my two favorite things in this world to do are create radio and to visit a new city for the first time. There's just a feeling you get when you know that feeling of newness and freshness. And everybody loves to travel. I never met anybody. You ever talk to somebody and say, "Oh, you know, I really don't like traveling." Like, traveling sucks. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that before.
I don't know. Amazon makes it extremely doable to not travel anywhere.
It's true.
You just have anything you need shipped to your house.
Yeah.
Even produce.
Yep.
Even produce shipped to your house.
It's true, man. I know a lot of people.
Never have to leave.
I know some people that never go anywhere, man. I know I have some friends that haven't been anywhere in years. I know a lot of New Yorkers don't go anywhere because they have everything in New York.
That's because New Yorkers are jerks.
They are jerks.
They feel superior. We've got everything we need within a 4-block radius.
That's how they feel. And there are New Yorkers. There are many New Yorkers out there that live in the city that'll tell you, like, I haven't left the city in 10 years, like, because I got everything. I got the bodegas. I got the park. I got the, you know, it's like, get out. It's good, man. It's good to see new things. And I got to see downtown Greenville today. Man, it is absolutely beautiful. Now, I heard good things.
How much did you go see?
I went to what is it, the West End?
Mm-hmm.
So I basically hung out around there.
You went to the Good End.
Yeah, I went to the Good End. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so
that's where everything's happening right now.
Yeah, the West End is amazing, man. Like, I heard good things about Greenville. I have a couple of friends here. Of course, I'm friends with Mark Ryan. I've been friends with him for a while. He kind of helped set this up with me filling in for Sturge. And I'm also, I got another friend here as well, and she's been here for a while, and she told me, man, Greenville's really cool. And I've heard from a couple people, because I live up in Raleigh, you know, we're only about 4 hours north of here. And I've heard from multiple people that, yeah, Greenville's a really, really cool spot. And I think it exceeded expectations, man. I love that West End, man. It's absolutely beautiful. I was checking out, like, the waterfalls and everything. And
the curved bridge, was it a little freaky at first?
It's very freaky. Okay, it wasn't just me. Yes. Okay, because, yeah. Yeah, it was like I kind of got some like vertigo action going there.
It's really weird when you get a jogger.
Yeah,
who makes the thing bounce?
It moved, yes.
And then you see dogs who are just dogs don't want to walk across it either.
Yeah,
it is odd.
It was very odd. I was not expecting the bridge to move. I felt like I was at like a Texas A&M game, because I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong, I think it's Texas A&M that has like the moving stadium, or one of them has a stadium that like it kind of rocks when the fans like really get into the game. I think it's Texas A&M. I could be wrong, but I felt like that. I'm like, is it me? Is the bridge moving, or am I crazy? I don't know, but it was that was a little weird.
So I've been told, now somebody can call in and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I've been told that's the longest curved suspension bridge in the world.
Oh, really?
Because they're difficult to make.
Okay.
And most people are like, why would you make a curved suspension bridge?
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, because they're awesome for foot traffic, but for cars, I'm sure. Yeah. That's quite the undertaking. So I've been told that's the largest one in the world.
Look at that. All right. I did not know that. How long has it been there? Has it been there for a while?
It's been here as long as I've been here.
Oh,
and that's
long?
11 years.
Oh, okay.
All so right. Before that.
Have they just revitalized downtown, or has it always been the hip and cool spot to go? Like, a lot of these downtowns everywhere have just really
right.
taken off over the last
I understand
you know,
10
years.
The West End about 20 years ago was okay. a great place to go find drugs.
Oh, good. Okay, good
so
enough.
They've done a great job revitalizing it since.
Yes, very, very nice. It was cool, man. And, like, I wish I could stay because I'm bouncing right after the show tomorrow. It's 2:30 when we're done. I got to head back up north to my, you know, regular job. So I'm really not going to get to spend as much time as I want, obviously, you know, exploring. But man, it's amazing down there.
Now, if you want to, if you really want to get some vertigo, you got to go up to the Mile High Swinging Bridge in Blowing Rock.
Where's that?
Or actually, Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina, up outside Boone.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
It's
two giant peaks.
Uh huh.
With a bridge that goes across it.
No.
And you can see through it. It's like a steel grate, like a New York City, you know. Steam grate.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Walking across that, and when the wind blows, and it blows up there really hard.
Yeah.
As it goes through the holes in the steel girders, it makes a whistling sound. So they call it the Mile High Singing Bridge.
Oh, God.
Previously, it was a wood and rope plank bridge. No way.
No.
I was too young for it. I didn't get to see that.
I wouldn't do that.
That's terrifying.
I wouldn't do it now. I can't even walk. Like, I get vertigo doing just about anything. Like, I can't even walk up a set of stairs that you can see through. You know, if like the stairs are kind of, yeah, if you can see through the stairs and I'm only walking up to the second floor, I can barely do that. Seriously, bro, I can barely change light bulbs. Like, if I change a light, and I'm not even joking.
You got a lot of lamps at your house.
I do. Yeah, because if I have to, like, if I have to stand up and like on like a chair to change a light bulb, I freak out. And I'm only like, I don't know, 2 feet off of the ground. So I'm not going to your mountain. That's not happening. I'm not mountains and me don't get along. I'm good on Grandfather Mountain. I'm sure it's beautiful. I was already freaking out enough on that bridge today. That was enough for me as soon as that bridge started moving. That's about as high as I'm going to get. And that was pretty high. That was pretty scary for me. But Main Street was cool too. We just kind of walked up and down Main Street for a little bit. And just, I really wanted to get a sense of downtown Greenville. And tell you what, man, I really want to come back. I'm going to, you know, hopefully they might have me fill in again at some point for either Sturge or Mark. And I'd love to come back. And even if the brass here doesn't like me, even if they say, oh, man, this guy Pants, he just sucked. He was terrible. Even if that's the case and they never want me back here at ESPN Upstate, I'm still going to come back to Greenville. And I'm still going to check out the city because now I got some friends here, including you, Diesel. And I really want to explore, man. It's you don't really hear a lot about Greenville outside of the area. It's kind of a hidden gem, and it, that's a good thing.
It was amazing a few years ago when there was a hurricane that was headed straight towards Charleston, and a lot of Charleston residents came up to Greenville to get out of the way of it.
Sure.
And I remember being downtown one night and running into probably a dozen or so different groups of Charleston residents, and they said, wow, we had no idea Greenville was this cool.
Yeah.
You know, they came up and they said, this place is great.
It's amazing.
So you finally you've learned.
Do we like Charleston? Or do we have like a rivalry with them? Like,
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I like Charleston.
I like the city. Yeah. Wasn't sure if Greenville residents or, you know, residents of the upstate, if they.
This is the South. We're cordial.
Yeah. We like everybody here.
Yeah.
Well, it's perfect here. This is why it's perfect too, because it's cool. It's amazing. But not a lot of other people know about it.
Like, exactly.
You see all these other growing places around the country, like Austin, Texas, Nashville, Portland, Oregon, even Portland, Maine, to an extent. All these places are great, but all the residents are getting tired of it because everybody's coming in and there's too much traffic and there's too many people and it kind of loses its charm because everybody wants to be part of.
We have a bunch of that.
Oh, we do?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's weird is the ground has been shaking over the last year or so because they're building a gigantic new wastewater tunnel.
Okay.
Under the city.
Really?
So you feel this boring machine operating under your feet, and it's freaky.
Really? Oh, okay. That is definitely.
But it's supposed to be able to handle 75 years in the future capacity
okay.
of water.
Wow. All right. That's good to see some planning. Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of these other places aren't planning anything. And it's just like they can't handle all the growth. It's good to see Greenville doing some planning because the growth is going to happen. It's probably already happening now, I'm sure, but it's the secret about this gem is going to get out to a lot more people very soon because it's cool, man. I'm not blown away very often, and I've been to a lot of places. I've been just about everywhere in the United States, it's rare where I see a place for the first time and I'm like, damn, all right, this is pretty cool.
And we hosted the NCAA tournament. First two rounds a few years ago.
Oh, yeah?
And it's planning to come back.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, they figured it out. They're like, yeah, we definitely want to come back here. And you know, I'm sure the fans, the alumni of the schools that have never been here will come here and say, wow, this is a really cool area. It's good. I love it when places are able to showcase what they have to people around the country that are visiting for, you know, NCAA tournaments or bowl games or what have you. It's really cool. And I just wanted to say, I'm thankful and happy to be here. And I've really enjoyed this week checking out the area. Really enjoyed talking with you guys, and we got a lot of good topics on the show today. We are going to talk about some Twitter trolls. So Twitter trolls are in the news. We got some hilarious stuff involving Twitter trolls. We didn't get to this yesterday. I still want to talk about this. Should the Panthers trade for Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr.? Because he's on the trade block, maybe. Also, we got the weirdest injury I've heard in a while that happened to a baseball player. What is the best day of the sports calendar? We'll discuss that. We're going to play Would You Rather a little bit later. We have a little Would You Rather action coming up. But coming up next, Clemson. What happened last night? Bad loss for the Tigers last night in Miami. What does it mean for their NCAA tournament hopes? We'll get into that next. It is Straight Up with Sturge. Without Sturge, Jeff Pantridge filling in. Be here till 7 o'clock this evening, hanging out with my dude Diesel. And I'd love for you guys to join the show. You can hit us up on the phones. You can get us on Twitter, in the Twitter sphere, and you can get us on the text as well. So I watched the Clemson game last night at Miami. A disappointing game for the Tigers. And I was worried. I was worried for Clemson heading into that game because it was when you have those games against bad teams – on the road, when the crowd is dull or, in that case, non-existent, it's hard to get up for those games a lot of times, especially if you're on the college level. And I know the Clemson is pretty senior-laden. I know they have four senior starters on their squad. But I've talked to countless athletes over the years, talked to countless professional athletes that I've worked with or interviewed. And you would think that, like, the hardest thing to do is to play in a stadium, like, go on the road and play in, like, a hostile environment with, 85,000 people telling you how much you suck. But it's actually harder to play in empty arenas and empty stadiums because you can't really get motivated. And there was nobody at the game last night. So it's that. Clemson, they started out slow. Miami started out slow too. It was just kind of a dull game at first. I don't think Clemson got into double figures until 10 minutes had passed
wow.
in the game. Yeah, so they really got going in the second half, but by that point it ended up being too little, too late as they lose on basically a buzzer beater. Tough way to go down, losing by 1 point, up 64-63. Miami has the ball with, 10 seconds left, whatever it was. I forget the actual time. And Clemson, you got to give them credit. They D'd up on Miami's final possession. They played as good of defense as they could possibly play without getting a turnover. They played great defense. Miami really didn't have a shot, and the guy that shot the ball, he was – terrible all night. He was 1-for-8 from the floor before that final shot, and he almost lost the ball. He grabs the ball, and he kind of throws up this ugly, just clunky shot from around the free throw line, and it hit the backboard, hit the rim, kind of dribbled around and went in. It was like, bro, you don't deserve that. I know, like, if it goes in, it goes in. But, like, it was such a crappy way for a game to end, because it was an ugly, ugly shot. It was one of the ugliest game winners you'll ever see. And Clemson had, what, 0.4 seconds left on the clock, and they tried to get the inbounds and got deflected out of bounds. And your Clemson Tigers lose to the Miami Hurricanes last night, 65-64. And that's just a loss that you can't have if you're Clemson. That's a bubble team. And bubble teams that lose to bad teams, whether it be on the road or at home, they're not going to make the tournament. You had the huge win, your only quality win of the season thus far, against Virginia Tech. On Saturday, you had won 4 in a row in the ACC. Things were starting to look up, it seemed, for Clemson. And you got to find a way to win that game. You can't blow it down in Miami. It's a bad loss.
Yes, I think that's going to be Clemson's MO for a while. I mean, Clemson, every now and again, they'll step up and surprise you and beat somebody they're not supposed to beat.
Sure.
But then they will step down and lose to the teams that you're not supposed to lose to. And you're right, that's what keeps you out of tournaments, and that's what keeps you from building momentum from one year to the next, and that's what keeps your attendance at home kind of weak.
Yep.
You know, that's why you have a half-full stadium, because, mm-hmm. God, you know what? Who cares? We might be hosting Boston College. I don't even know if Boston College is good or not. But we're hosting Boston College. Meh, you know, I don't really want to go, and last time we played them, we lost, and that's how the malaise of a basketball program happens, and that's why you can never achieve the elite status. I know Clemson fans really want to be in an elite status in basketball, contending for a top 25 every single year.
Sure.
That's where they want to be. But until you can find ways to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, you're never going to get there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to number one before anything, you have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Then you got to try to pull off some upsets. If you can beat the teams you're supposed to beat and win a third of the games that you're not supposed to win, you're going to be in good shape in any sport, but especially in college basketball, when your resume is so important, and they don't really have any resume defining wins outside of the Virginia Tech win on Saturday. And all of the momentum you get, everything that you get from that Virginia Tech game, you lose when you lose to a game, when you lose to a team like Miami that's struggling this year. And I know Miami's playing better right now. Miami just almost beat North Carolina on Saturday. They lost in overtime to North Carolina. So the Hurricanes, while they might not be as bad as their record is what it is. And the numbers are going to hurt Clemson in the long run. And that now they're 5-6 in conference. And at this point, I would say you're probably going, if you're Clemson, I would think they'd have to go, you know, with the ACC being as powerful as it is, you're probably going to have to go 10-8. To get into the dance in conference, depending on what you do in the ACC tournament. So that if you're 5-6 now, what does that mean? You got to go 5-2 over your last 7 games to probably have a chance. I don't know if 9-9 is going to cut it for Clemson. Last year, teams got in at 9-9. I think Syracuse got in with an 8-10 record, but Syracuse had a pretty impressive resume last year, and they got in like on the last 4. They were, you know, in the team 67 or team 68 or whatever. Clemson and their schedule is not going to be easy down the stretch. They're gonna have to find a way to beat somebody they're not supposed to. They might have to beat 2 teams that they're not supposed to beat to get into the NCAA tournament, because I don't know if the ACC is getting in 9 teams like they did last year. And I'm just looking at their schedule coming up. Not easy. You got to go to Louisville on Saturday. Louisville almost beat Duke. They should have beaten Duke the other day. So you got to go to Louisville on Saturday. You got back-to-back. You got Louisville on Saturday and then FSU at home on Tuesday. And those are 2 ranked teams. So you think you're going to beat both of those? You'd be lucky to split that. So you got to hope to split that between Louisville and FSU. You get Boston College at home, Pitt on the road. Those are games that you should win if you're Clemson. Then you get North Carolina coming in. Probably not going to win that game. North Carolina coming in on Saturday, March 12th. You end the season at Notre Dame, not an easy game. And then you have Syracuse at home. Certainly not an easy game. I don't know if I see five wins there. They're not going to be the better team in five of those games. Diesel, they're going to have to find a way to pull off a couple of upsets here, I think.
Yeah, you're going to have to manufacture wins going because it's not getting any easier the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to get any easier for them. The good thing for them, which gives me hope, is they do have senior leadership, very important. And they've been through this before. They got to the tournament last year. They have that big game experience, but they're going to have to kind of buck up here and probably surprise some people. It's looking like.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for them. I don't see them necessarily doing it. I think Clemson's left out.
And you know what? If they end up going 9-9 in the ACC, if they go 4-3 over their last seven, end up with a 9-9 record in conference, they deserve to be left out. To me, and this is why I don't like what's been happening over the last several years in college basketball. It seems like the little guys are getting kind of shut out more. And like they're rewarding mediocrity, mediocre teams in powerful conferences, Power Five conferences. If you're mediocre in the ACC and you go 9-9, you got a much better shot of getting into the tournament than you would if you're great in a smaller conference, but you don't win your conference tournament. Like I look at a team like Wofford, who they're rolling right now. They're undefeated in conference. But if they slip up in the Southern Conference tournament, they could be out and a team like Clemson could get in. I think Wofford deserves it more than Clemson.
Yeah, you got a team like Furman. Now, I haven't checked their record in a couple of days. But at one point, Furman was ranked. They had a huge win over Villanova this season. But the Southern Conference is a one-bid league. Yep. That's all it's going to be. I mean, I looked at their standings a few days ago, and they had three teams with four or fewer losses on the season. I mean, they had three really, really good basketball teams. Unfortunately, Furman wasn't one of them because they had a tough stretch there. Mm-hmm. But they had three really good basketball teams, and it's all going to come down to the tournament.
Yep.
You know, I really wish the NCAA would refocus and redistribute some of these at-large bids.
Absolutely. That's what gives the tournament its charm. Like, that's what makes the tournament great is I like to see the smaller schools in it. You want to see more Cinderellas. I'd much rather see a Cinderella that finished second in their conference than a mediocre team that finished, eighth in a big-time conference.
Because what if you're the Cinderella team and you lose on a buzzer beater in your conference championship, and then boom, you're out.
Your
season's over.
Yeah, you have no chance.
We talk about this every year. We talk about how much we love these Cinderellas. But the question is, who's making these decisions? Who is deciding, all right, let's get in a mediocre Power 5 team. Is it because they're trying to sell tickets, because they're trying to get eyeballs on the tournament? It's just sad to see.
And if that's the case, then they're wrong, because they're not going to sell tickets. If you're an average team, if you're an average big-time program and you're a middle-league big-time program, and let's say Clemson, for instance, let's say they get a bid, like let's say they get a 9 seed or 11 seed, but it's way out west. Like, how many people are going to go out to California to watch Clemson? I would much rather have a smaller team. I think more people would go. There'd be more interest nationally for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look at everybody how they flipped out last year over Sister Jean when Loyola Chicago got
these
all
stories
the final
are
four.
Great.
Yeah, that's what makes the tournament special. Yeah, it's not about having the 68 best teams. It's not like college football where you have the four best teams. It's about having the 31 best teams and then the at large and the most interesting stories. And that's why we love the NCAA tournament. If you want to weigh in on Clemson, you can. We'll probably get more into that a little bit later on in the show. But coming up next, I kind of want to switch gears. Actually, talking about Clemson football, we're going to have a friend of mine on. His name's Dimitri Rivanos. And he does he hosts a podcast, a really popular podcast, college football podcast, called the Chewing Clock Podcast. You guys got to check it out. He has an interesting take on whether or not Clemson football, whether the national championship Clemson football team, could they beat, not an NFL team, But could they beat an AAF team? We'll talk about that next. It is Straight Up without Sturge. Jeff Pantridge filling in. Sturge will be back on Tuesday. Really looking forward to him coming back. I know a lot of you guys are looking forward to hearing from Sturge once again. And I know he's definitely looking forward to coming back as well. Getting into week two of the AAF. I wonder who's excited? Diesel, you excited week two of the AAF, or is the luster already worn off?
I actually went on. I was curious how many people were watching these games after the fact. I pulled up the Atlanta-Orlando game.
Yeah.
And it had this was Monday night, I think. Mm-hmm. Already had 25,000 views on YouTube.
Really?
On the full game. I'm not talking about highlights. I'm talking about the game.
Okay.
Had 25,000 hits on YouTube. So I don't know how they did on television ratings.
Yeah.
But you know, there's people who are interested.
Yeah.
Just want to check this thing out. Want to see what it's all about.
I'm hoping to check it out. I didn't get to watch a lot last weekend because I was actually working. But I'm really hoping to check it out. I know my friend Dimitri Ravanos checked it out. You can check him out. He does a podcast called the Chewing Clock Podcast. It is a college football podcast. And Dimitri, let me get this right. And I've heard the podcast many times. You guys do a phenomenal job. It's a year round college football podcast. Correct?
That's right. We're always talking about hard-hitting topics tomorrow's episode is going to be about who is each Power 5 conference's wife versus who is its mistress.
All right, explain. What do you mean by wife and mistress?
Okay, all right. So a little bit of a giveaway the content here because you are in Clemson country.
Yes.
In the ACC, North Carolina is very much the wife. The four North Carolina schools will always get the benefit of the doubt for the conference. They have that stupid Raycom media deal specifically so NC State football is on television.
Yes.
And North Carolina is the school that always moves the needle for the conference. The mistress is FSU because when the conference expanded, everything was set up. Because remember, Clemson wasn't Clemson at that point.
No.
When the conference expanded in 2003, mm-hmm. we thought the side with Virginia Tech, Miami, and Georgia Tech was going to be the tough one to get through.
Yes.
And Florida State would have a walk to the championship every year. But make no mistake, Florida State is always going to be the one that gets the date the weekend after Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day belongs to Carolina.
Yeah, it certainly does. You can follow my guy, Dimitri Ravanos, on Twitter, at Dimitri Ravanos. That's Ravanos. Dimitri, you guys did a recent episode of your podcast, and everybody talks about this. Been talking about this on sports radio for years. People talk about this at bars. It used to be over the last several years, you know, could Alabama beat the Buffalo Bills or the Browns or whoever the worst NFL team is? And realistically, if you know anything about football, you know that would never happen because a professional team, an NFL team, is all Americans, and they would destroy any college team. But you guys had an interesting conversation on your podcast, and you asked whether or not Clemson could beat the winner of the AAF championship.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they could. Now, listen, I'm speaking, of course, as a lifelong Birmingham Iron fan and a devotee of the Alliance of American Football.
Yes, of
but
course.
Look, I think the Birmingham team and the Orlando team are the two that you walked out of weekend one saying, wow, those teams looked really good.
Oh, I don't know, Dimitri, hang on. I got the Arizona Hotshots are number one in my power rankings here. I have a list of power rankings.
I understand that there is a lot of hype around Arizona,
yes.
But in crunch time, do you trust Steve Spurrier or do you trust Rick Neuheisel?
I'll take Spurrier all day, but I just I think it's hilarious that they actually have power rankings for this stuff already. I got a list. Yeah, Arizona number one, Orlando two, Birmingham three. So you're right there. The San Antonio Commanders four, the Salt Lake City Stallions five. What do we got here? Six, San Diego Fleet, the Atlanta Legends at seven. First off, how can you be legends if you're in the AAF? I don't understand that.
How on earth are the Atlanta Legends at seven? I don't think their quarterback threw for 100 yards in the first game.
Yeah, I guess they're better than Memphis, according to CBS.com.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, Memphis looked awful. But my point being,
yes.
Like, Luis Perez is the quarterback from Birmingham. He's the one that came out of the first weekend that a lot of people talking about. Wow, that guy looks like he could be in someone's camp next year.
Yeah.
Today, today, Pants, would you rather have Luis Perez or would you rather have Trevor Lawrence?
I'd rather have Trevor Lawrence. Yeah.
Would you rather have Travis Etienne or would you rather have not 2011 Trent Richardson, but 2019 Trent Richardson? You'd rather have Travis Etienne.
2019 Trent Richardson was probably driving a beer truck last week, and so I think I'll take Travis Etienne, absolutely.
Do you know what Trent Richardson was doing?
No, what was he doing?
Trent Richardson is technically an assistant on the Alabama staff. What he actually is the scout team running back. That's 100% true.
Really? I did not know
that. Yeah, I mean, he's one of those dudes that, you know, look, I went to Bama. I'm a lifelong Bama fan. Mm-hmm. Trent Richardson is one of my favorite Bama players ever.
Yeah.
This is sad. Like, dude, this is sad. It's not like Christian Hackenberg, which is hilarious.
Yes.
Watching Trent Richardson is sad at this point.
Yeah, it's really sad. But you think Clemson, it does make sense because obviously quarterback is the most important position on the field. And I would take Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, many people argue if he were in the NFL draft this year, he would be the number one overall pick. I think he's that good.
I don't know that I go that far. But the real thing, like the real reason that you would look at Clemson over an AAF team has very little to do with quarterback and more to do with, like, what was the worst position group of all in the AAF? It was offensive line. Are you telling me that offensive line could have stopped Clemson's defensive line this year? No way.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, that's a good point. What can we do to make this happen? How can we make this happen? They should have some kind of exhibition after the AAF Super Bowl or whatever they call the stupid thing, and then have them play Clemson.
Yeah, I agree. Here's what we do, because I don't think it's limited to the Clemsons and Alabamas of the world that could do this. I think there's a legit shot Boise State could give the AAF champion again.
Really?
But here's what we do. We line the champion, the winner of the college football playoff national championship game up against the winner of the AAF Super Bowl. All those AAF guys get a 3-year, $250,000 contract. Comes out to about $84,000 a year. If your team loses, if you are the AAF team and you lose to the college national champion, one $250,000 contract split up amongst the college team.
Oh, okay. Look, like that. Get these kids paid.
We can all agree not ideal. Those kids deserve way more, but this way they get something.
Yep.
And we acknowledge that, look, this is the AAF is fun. It keeps football going year-round, but it's not like, dude, it's not legit.
So do you think, and we're talking with my guy, Dimitri Rivanos, he hosts the Chewing Clock podcast 365 days a year. Dimitri, you don't think this league is going to last?
No, I actually think it will last.
Okay.
I think that they are going about this the right way. They are not doing what Vince McMahon made the mistake of doing the first time around with the XFL. They're not doing what Donald Trump made the mistake of doing with the USFL and marketing it as better or some sort of superior alternative to the NFL. They're very much telling you, look, this is not the NFL. This is not college football. These are guys that you remember and you might have a fondness for, like, you know, me with Trent Richardson, mm-hmm. that you want to see play one more time. And on top of that, they are in business already with the NFL. It's only a media contract at this point. But if the NFL ever gets serious about rekindling the developmental program they had going with NFL Europe with one of these spring leagues, whether it's the AAF or the new XFL, don't you think it's going to be the one they already have a business relationship with?
Absolutely.
So you think there's no chance that this AAF league is any danger of pulling players from college straight into the AAF?
No, and I'll tell you why. They are a little bit more they're not strapped in terms of finances. They're just a little bit more disciplined in terms of finances and in terms of what they are trying to do than what Vince McMahon was the first time around with the XFL and what I think he'll do again, which is essentially saying, hey, if you're 18 and you don't want to go the college football route, come to the XFL. You can make a small amount of money, but it's more than you'd make playing college football, or it's more than we'll pretend you'll make playing college football. The AAF is run by Bill Polian. They still have that age limit in place. The only real difference between it and NFL football from the down-to-down play, I know like the kickoffs and stuff are taken out, but really the only difference from the down-to-down play is the way roughing the passer is not called in the AAF.
Love
I
that.
Think they understand the benefit of not pulling away from college football, because the other thing is most of their fan base is coming from college football fans. Where do they have their biggest attendance this weekend?
Birmingham. Yeah, no doubt. He is Dimitri Ravanos. You can follow him on Twitter at Dimitri Ravanos, and you can follow the Chewing Clock podcast on Twitter as well at Chewing Clock. Dimitri, always a pleasure to talk to you, my man.
Pants, talking, I was going to say talking good, but good to talk to you, buddy.
Talking good, buddy. Always a pleasure. I love talking to my guy, Dimitri. All right, coming up next, speaking of football, I have my new favorite football player. Wait until you hear this guy's nickname. He's got maybe the best nickname in the history of sports. What is it? We'll tell you on the other side. It is Straight Up with Sturge, without Sturge. Jeff Pantridge, you can call me Pants, filling in for Sturge. We got a big-time free agent signing in football. And, Diesel, you're going to be happy about this. It's a CFL signing. Diesel, you're a big CFL guy, right?
It's the only thing on, and it's my last chance to see the great one, Armani Edwards, straight out of Greenwood High School, play the game. So,
there you go.
I love the CFL.
What team does he play for?
Toronto Argonauts.
Well, the Toronto Argonauts have just signed another big-time free agent.
Booyah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's a slow news cycle right now. Not a lot happened in the middle of February. NFL football is over. Baseball hasn't started yet. We're kind of in the basketball and hockey doldrums. No college football to speak of. We got college basketball starting to ramp up next month. But your Toronto Argonauts have signed Poop Johnson.
Well, that's a stinky hire, isn't it?
Yes. Poop Johnson has signed. Defensive tackle Poop Johnson has signed with the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. He found his nickname, or more accurately, Poop found him in 2014 when he was still playing college football for the Kentucky Wildcats.
I wonder if Crap Jackson will ever get a spot. The CFL.
How do you get a nickname Poop Johnson? Really?
Or Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson, great. Love Turd Ferguson. Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah, Turd Ferguson plays D-end, I think, for the Argonauts. love that guy. Burt Reynolds making a comeback. Hey, there we go. We came back to the Burt Reynolds conversation from yesterday. But the defensive tackle was asked about his fluctuating weight, and so he was honest about his movements, and he said, I try to poop like five times a day, three times a day, so it's hard to keep weight on when you got so much going out. So he got the nickname Poop. So ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Poop Johnson has signed with the Toronto Argonauts. Let's get Ethan on the line. Welcome to Straight Up with Sturge, Ethan.
How are we all doing today?
Good. How you doing, brother? We got about 30 seconds for you.
Oh, no worries. Just wanted to say, I believe Clemson could beat the top half of the AAF, not the bottom half. The bottom half being San Diego, San Antonio, Memphis, and Atlanta. I think they could beat them. I don't think they could beat the top half.
I gotcha. Any particular reason why?
I just think the level of athleticism is pretty even. But I do think that maybe that experience that some of those older guys have would possibly top Clemson, especially in the top half of the league, like Arizona, Orlando, Salt Lake, and Birmingham. I think they would beat Clemson.
Very good. Thank you very much for the call. I would like to see it. I think Clemson would probably beat all of them. Maybe not Spurrier's team.
Did you by the chance notice that Atlanta's jerseys were two different colors purple?
No, I did not notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The jerseys were like a royal purple. The helmets were a lot flatter.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
Different colors.
And why are they called the Legends if they're in the AAF? They're the opposite of Legends.
Atlanta just got here.
All right. We'll be back on the other side.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.